welcome to another episode of Lid Radio Podcast. Today on our Inside Knowledge series, we're listening to Paul Dupuis. He's CEO and Managing Director of Randstad India and the former chairman of Hope International. He's also the author of The E5 Movement, Leadership Through the Rule of Five. And today he'll be talking through the fourth and fifth E's in the E5 Movement, Enable and Execute. Now over to Paul.
In the next segment, we're going to talk about Enable. This is the fourth E in the E5 Movement. And I have to say, in my own journey as a leader, this has become a key focus for me personally. I have really shifted my attention, my energy on becoming a leader as an enabler. But what does that really mean? Well, let's look back for a moment. The first E was envision, crafting a compelling vision which touches the hearts and the minds of the teams, painting a picture of what the world would look like, the why, the greater purpose. And then the second E, express, bringing that compelling vision to the world, sharing it through an omni-channel strategy to ensure that people understand it, not only the what and the how, but the why. And then, of course, in the process, inspiring, exciting. That's the third E, excite, where the teams are now starting to lean in. And not only that, they're not only leaning in, they're standing up and saying, when can we start? And let's do this. And here is a moment of truth. The role of the leader is multidimensional, and it really depends on the moment. In the book, The E5 Movement, I talk about reflexive management or reflexive leadership. We develop reflexes as leaders over our experience as leaders. And of course, the more we practice leadership, the more we hone those reflexes. And when you think about leadership, there are different kinds of leadership. The most common type of leadership is pace-setting leadership. That's the leader who stands at the front and says, follow me, let's go. There's also the leader from the side. And if you think about it in terms of an army platoon, a group of soldiers marching forward, the leader at the front is the pace setter. The leader who walks next to the team is the leader who is encouraging from the side. Then the leader shifts to the back of the group and walks behind. That leader is leader as supporter. And then the leader who goes right to the middle of the group, gets right in the middle and gets his or her hands dirty. That's the leader as player, as participant. And there's one more type of leadership. That's the leader who separates him or herself from the group and lets them fly and lets them go, so stands away from afar. And in the book, I talk about this idea of freedom in the frame. Freedom in the frame, again, comes from Dan Cable from the London Business School, who talked about this notion of micromanagement versus giving freedom in the frame. Some call it freedom to fail. I would rather describe it as creating a frame within where people can move freely and have that ability and freedom to experiment, to make mistakes, to fall down, to try again with support. The enabling phase is actually about providing the tools, sometimes technology, of course, but not only technology, but more importantly, the environment. We have a compelling vision. The strategy is clear. Now it's about moving on to enabling the team to do the 50, which is to execute. Now, a lot of leaders have a hard time at this stage because they've worked really hard to bring their baby, the vision, to the team. They've expressed it through town halls and blogs and vlogs and using all the omni-channels. They've got the team excited. Things are happening. And this is where a lot of leaders have a hard time letting go. It's counterintuitive, and they want to be right in the middle of it all. And while these leaders may talk about giving the team freedom to go on and bring it to life and to execute, this is where a lot of leaders actually slow the process down. The best way to demotivate someone is to give them the hammer and say, okay, go for it. And after a couple of swings, grab it out of their hands and say, I got this. And then do it themselves. And many leaders have a hard time resisting that urge. Why? Because as we talked about in a previous segment, most leaders have come from the front line. They started off their career holding the hammer and just can't resist the urge to pick it up again. And that's really demotivating for those members of the team that are in that stage of let's do this. They need to have the experience of trying on their own, of experimenting and sometimes failing. So enabling is really about giving the tools, but more importantly, creating the platform, creating the environment, and creating a culture where it's okay to experiment, to try, to tweak, and to try again. Now, when you create an enabling environment, this is a wonderful moment for every game-changing leader, because this is where, if you get it right, by the fourth E, enable, the leader simply needs to step out of the way and let the wheels move. You've ignited a movement, and by enabling, the multiplier effect kicks in. So you step out of the way and watch it go. And it's such a special moment when you get it right. But the journey to get that far has been a long one, and it hasn't been easy. You know, we talk about the hands-on leader versus the strategic leader. The strategic leader is often seen as operating from a high level. And for some reason, in many business and leadership models, we hear about operating at 30,000 feet. Well, I would argue that if I was operating at 30,000 feet, I would have absolutely no idea what's happening on the ground with my teams. 30,000 feet is way too high. The opposite extreme is being down in the mud. Now, it's good for a leader to be in the mud, but staying in the mud too long means you lose sight of the opportunity. Of course, the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, the threats. The leader needs to climb up the hill, needs to climb up the ladder from time to time to get a view of the landscape without losing touch with the team. It's important to have your finger on the pulse of the team. I would argue probably 100 feet is more appropriate than 30,000 feet. So moving up and down that ladder is key, and this is especially important at the enable phase. Finally, we reach the ultimate moment of truth. And this is where every leader will eventually be measured. And that is on execute, bringing the vision to life, executing on, of course, the what and the how, but being rooted in the why throughout the execution phase. And that's where the North Star, the true North, comes in. Execution is really when it all comes together. This is the ultimate moment of truth. And this is where, in the book, I talk about Kaizen meets Jugad. Kaizen was really, it was born in Japan, and it was perfected by Toyota, in fact, through the Toyota Production System, which is really about identifying bottlenecks in processes. A meticulous analysis where engineers and project managers in the manufacturing world would come together and identify opportunities for improvement. And it was about continuous improvement. They looked for something called muda. Muda really means inefficiency or waste. Identifying those opportunities to remove the inefficiencies and the waste, to streamline processes. And it's a very time-consuming process, but very effective. On the other hand, there's something called Jugad. Jugad is an Indian concept, which is based on ingenuity, creativity, leveraging existing resources to accomplish a task or to reach a goal. I talk about combining Jugad and Kaizen. What a magical combination those two would be for any leader. And at the execution stage, the fifth E, there is a role for both the spirit of Jugad, creativity and ingenuity, married with the meticulous focus on efficiency of Kaizen. And that's where, really, where execution and excellence in execution is born. It's about focus. It's about consistency. It's about keeping a cadence. It's also about making tough decisions. Connected with the enabling phase, the execution phase is about confronting the brutal facts, as Jim Collins said in his book, Good to Great. It's important to understand that you need the right people on the right challenge at the right moment. And the expectation needs to be clear. Success needs to be defined. Progress needs to be incremental. There must be measurable and observable progress happening throughout the execution stage. Now, there will be moments of plateauing. There will be moments of acceleration. There will be moments of slowdown. That's what happens during the execute phase. But at the same time, the leader must be engaged. It's important to play the role sometimes as leader of the front, leader by the side, leader at the back, leader in the middle, and leader nowhere to be seen. And this is so important. The leader's role is to ensure that there is continuous progress no matter what, and to shift back to enabling mode. So execution is actually kind of a continuum and a pendulum where the leader is shifting back and forth from execution to enabling, to execute, to enable, right? And it involves a lot of grit and resilience, let's face it, because it can be a very frustrating moment. The execution phase is when it all comes together. But as we know, game-changing leaders embrace the biggest challenges. And the exceptional leaders that I've observed over the years absolutely shine during the storm.
Thank you so much to Paul. And remember, this is the third of three podcast episodes from Paul about the E5 movement. So do keep your eye out for the others. You can do this through our social media channels at Lid Publishing, where we'll be sharing other podcasts, books, and expert opinions from people such as Paul Dupree. Take care and see you next time on Lid Radio Podcast.